begin. We had a shir before Yom Tov, a Yom Kippur shir, but that was the, I guess, officially the kickoff of the season of shiurim. But this is the first shir on Sanhedrin, so I want to welcome everybody, and we thank the Burmans in advance for all their good work in Mar Mekomos and putting everything's still online. I have to get caught up one of these days.
Yes, it will be.
But it's there. In case
it's there. You don't have your DVDs.
Yeah, we'll kind of caught up with the DVD with the DVDs for a couple of years.
Okay, so we have to.
But thank you in advance, and also Rabbi Chai Arbisfeld, of course, is not here tonight. But we thank him in advance as well. He also for all the good things that he does for this year. So the topic, the limud for this year is Gemasechet Sanhedrin. What we're going to try to do is we'll start with the first parak, and if we have a chance, maybe we'll do some topics. The third parak, we'll see how it goes. What's that? Third. Meaning the natural, if you want to do similar type topics, is the first, to do the first parak till about Daf Yud or Yud Aleph. I don't know if in the month, the once a week shir, we'll be able to get there, but and then to switch to the third parak, which is a different form of Bezdin, Zavla. But I would like to do some of those topics, so maybe we'll mix it up a little bit. Anyways, but we are going to begin with the beginning, of course, a little bit of a hakdama, and we'll begin now, I guess. So the background, the first Mishnah in Sanhedrin speaks about the different configurations of Batei Dinim. There are all sorts of Batei Dinim, and the structure of Beis Din, of the legal, Jewish legal system, is really already reflected in that range. So the Mishnah begins, Dinei Mamonos B'Shlosha, monetary matters, civil law issues are generally adjudicated by three judges. The Gemara will discuss who or what these three judges are, whether they need to be smuchim, meaning to have classical rabbinic authority or authorization, which comes in some respects from, which has its source at least in Moshe Rabbeinu, and Ish Mipish and Moshe Rabbeinu will be discussing that. One of our early topics, or not, Bizmanenu, of course, we don't have the institution of smicha anymore, of rabbinic, classical rabbinic ordination. We have instead, as the Gemara discusses later on in Daf Hei, something called Netilas Rishus, particularly Netilas Rishus Mira, what we call smicha in our time, when somebody has smicha from an individual or from a yeshiva, etc. It's really the heter hora of Netilas Rishus Mirabo, and we'll be discussing to what extent that is really patterned after classical smicha, or it's something which is totally separate. We'll compare and contrast the two. But either way, the Gemara immediately discusses, we're not going to do that tonight, whether or not the three required for a bezin of Dinei Mamonos necessarily have to be smuchim, or they can be what we call hedyotos. Hedyotos doesn't mean that they're ignorant, it just means that they don't have formally the designation of smuchim. There are different levels. There are hedyotos who are what we call mumchal rabim, and we'll be discussing all of that. Either way, I just want to give you a sampling. The Mishnah says that dinei mamonos are b'shlosha, and then it gives some examples of it. Gzelos v'chavolos, matters pertaining to robbery or theft. Chavolos, personal damage. These are things, obviously, which are adjudicated by a bezin of three. Nezek, v'chatzi nezek, tashlomei kefil, tashlomei arba v'chamisha, the category in halacha known as knossos, which are usually beyond, the quid pro quo amount of any kind of damage. Knas, for example, the case of Geneva is a classical case. I steal someone's money, I steal $100. So as Karen, as an act of pure nezek, I'm obligated to repay what I took, which is $100. And as a knas, as a penalty, I'm charged an extra $100. That's called kefel, or in some cases it'll be dalid, vehei, four and five times the amount. So the point is that this doesn't correspond to the nezek. It's something that goes beyond the nezek. and therefore it's a different category completely. As we'll discuss, while there is the possibility of proceeding with adjudication, possibly even minat Torah, without smicha, without classical rabbinical smicha, when it comes to things like hoda'os v'halvos, and possibly even gzelos v'chavalos, when it comes to knossos, penalties, halachic penalties, that certainly requires bezin smuchim. In fact, the Gemara later on talks about, if you just look for a moment, the Gemara in Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis talks about smicha. We'll be getting to that. So the Gemara describes what smicha. It's very fascinating. Not clear why this is the case, and people don't really speak about it much. But if you look here, Amalei Rav Acha Berei Derava, this is 3, 6, 7 lines up from the bottom of the page. Amalei Rav Acha Berei Derava, everybody have it? L'Ravashi. B'yod Amamir Samchinan Lei. Amalei, that's a question mark. The Gemara says, Amalei Samchin Lei B'Shma. The way you authorize someone to be a Dayan is not necessarily by putting your hands on his head. That's what Moshe did to Yoshua. We'll discuss all this. But it's not necessarily the way that we do it, you know, since then. Probably not, according to the Rambam. Rather, it's by designating him, giving him a name, calling him a Samuch, Karile Rebbe. We call him Rebbe. That's, significance not just in the classroom, in other words, but as a... That's a way of designating a dayan. And we give him the permission to be dan dine knossos. So, and then the Gemara goes on to tell, we'll get back to these Gemaras. The Gemara says, then the Gemara goes on to say, dine knossos, v'chad lo samich, one person can't, bequeath or bestow smicha. The Gemara earlier said you need three. The Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, right? Bram, Zachor, Oso Ha'ish Latov, remember the following individual for his heroic efforts. Who is he? Rav Yehuda ben Bava Shmo. His name is Rav Yehuda ben Bava. Shemalehu, if not for him, Dishtak Hu Dine Knossos Mi'Yisrael. Not for his efforts to secure the continuity of Smicha in his time, Dine Knossos, laws and penalties, would have been lost to Klal Yisrael. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Nigarsinu, so let him teach them. What do you mean? The laws would be lost. Ella batlu dine knasos mi Yisrael. And then the Gemara goes on to tell the story of, what exactly was the problem that Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava was addressing. The reason I'm quoting this is, I just want to make the point that, and the Rambam does this in Peres Daled, Hilchos Sanhedrin as well, that when the Gemara and then later the Rambam and others speak about smicha, they particularly emphasize dine knossos. Which is interesting because the requirement of smicha is a prerequisite certainly for judging capital cases, dine nefashos. If somebody had said to me, what's the significance of not having smicha? Meaning classical smicha, the first thing that would have come trippingly off my tongue would have been we have lost the ability to try capital crimes in the halacha. I would not have said dine knossos, to be honest. So is that just because we're trying to highlight that even in dine mamonis, there is, even in the civil arena, right, there is requirement of smicha for dine knossos? Or is there something about dine knossos by virtue of the fact that it is not directly correspondent to the crime? It's something additional to the crime. Again, you stole, you're paying back. Why should you be, also charged double or triple or quadruple, as the case may be? Is there something about that highlights, the nature or the character of Jewish law in a manner which, should be accentuated when we have the opportunity of smicha? Anyways, the reason I'm telling you that now is because dine mamon is b'shlosha, gzelos v'chavol is b'shlosha, right? Nezek, chati nezek, tashlume kefal, tashlume arba v'chamisha b'shlosha. That's onus of bata, motzi shemra, b'shlosha, divra b'meir, chacham omri motzi shemra, b'esrim b'shlosha, b'pnei sheyesh bo dine nefashos. Motzi shemra can also have a capital consequence, and therefore that has, according to one of the Tanaim, the requirement of the next level in the hierarchy. So there's Dine Mamanes, we'll discuss all this. There is Dine Knossos. Dine Nefashos require what we call Sanhedri Ktana, a bezin of not three but 23. And then the Mishnah goes on. Makos Bishlosha, Bishurma Bishmolam, Esther Bishlosha. Again, if you are meeting out the punishment of Malkus, is that 3 or 23? Ibur HaKodesh Bishlosha, right, pronouncing an extra month. Ibur HaShana Bishlosha, Divra Mimei, Rab Shimon Gamlielam, Rab Bishlosha, Matkilin, B'chamisha Nosim V'nosnim, B'gomer B'shiva, Im Gomer B'gimel, Me'uberes. So again, already you have different configurations. You have 3, you have 23, and then there's some question of 3, 5, and 7. Then the Mishnah says, Smichas Kenim Varifas Egla Bishlosha. Now, Smichas Kenim is very fascinating. We'll discuss this more fully. But Smichas Kenim, according to Rashi, and according to the simple reading of the Mishnah, which is like Rashi, refers to what we call Par Helim Davar Shel Tzibor. The Torah tells us in Vayikra that if the majority, we'll discuss this a lot, if the majority of Klal Yisrael living in Eretz Yisrael err on the basis of an improper conclusion of the Bezdin HaGadol, in other words, the highest court of the land, makes a mistake, they render a ruling, and more than half of the population in Eretz Yisrael do an Aveira because of that mistake. So instead of each individual bringing a separate Korban, one Korban is brought on behalf of the totality of all of the Avaryanim, and that's called par, the cow, that's the, you know, kind of animal that's brought, helem davar shel tzibor, when the entire tzibor, you know, makes a mistake. Okay? So, as far as that is, so the Mishnah here says that smichas kenim, the zakenim of the Bezin HaGadol, which we'll get to in a moment, they used to do smicha, they would lean and, you know, on that korban, like a korban yach. It's one of the two exceptions. There are two korbanos, I think I mentioned this in our pre-Yom Kippur share, that there are two exceptions to the rule that smicha on a korban is limited to a korban yach. It doesn't apply to korban tzibor, with two exceptions. The reason we mentioned it is one is se'ira mishtalayach, that is brought by the kohen gadol on Yom Kippur, which we tried to explain a little bit then, and the other is the par helem davar shel tzibor, where the smicha is accomplished by a delegation of the Bezin HaGadol, you know, who made the initial mistake. Anyways, what's fascinating is, the Mishnah doesn't say anything about smicha l'dayanas. It just says smichas kenim. Well, I'll be reviewing all these issues, but I just want to give you like a bit of a sweeping sense of what's going on here first. Rashi says smichas kenim means what it says, which is par helem davar shel tzibor. Smichas kenim al rosh par helem davar shel tzibor. The Rambam in Pirshei Mishnayos, I think we have it in the sheets actually. It's line 6. Smichas kenim. Rashi says the Rambam says he minu yad dayanim v'remez lekach amaro v'yismoch es yadav alav v'yitzaveyu. Wow. Then he goes on to say, "Einanutz tzrichim smicha biyad elah adam haroy liismanos amrul bezin hamamanim ata rebi ploni hareata samuch mutalachaladun dine knasas." It's one of the examples you see also in the Rambam in Yad Chazaka. But the point is that the Rambam has a very fascinating read of the Mishnah. The Mishnah just says the word smichas kenim, and right next to it is arifas egla. So, and you'll see the Gemara on Yud Gimel Amud Beis quotes psukim about in the parsha par helem davar shel tzibor. Then in Yudal Rav Aleph, it quotes psukim in the context of egla arufa, right? Because these are the topics. There are no psukim discussing, smicha l'dayanus, right? So, and yet the Rambam Pirush Mishnayos says that smicha skenim has a double meaning. It means par helem davar shel tzibor, and it means the smicha of dayanus. Either way, I mean, what is this, a play on words, saving a little bit of ink? I mean, because both of them are called smicha, they may have such a, on the surface, they have such a different connotation that, you know, it seems almost, you know, peculiar, even disturbing, you know, just to take the common word, you know, and to put two things, you know, together like that. So obviously I'm going to make the case at the right time that this is all part of, you know, a grand scheme of the Rambam, which I think it really is, and I think the evidence is just overwhelming, and that the connection between Parhel and Davershal Tzibor and Smicha L'Dayanus, in a certain issue at least, is a direct conceptual connection, and that there are numerous expressions or manifestations of this, especially in the Rambam's reading of these various Gemaras, both on the Parhel and Davershal Tzibor side, and especially on the Smicha side, which justify his, you know, understanding that the word Smicha in the Mishnah, despite the differences, really can apply to both. Okay. Anyways, Smichas Kenim and Arifas Eglav. Arifas Eglav, of course, is the story of finding an anonymous corpse, not knowing who is responsible for the murder. The Ziknei Ha'ir. Right, the Gemara says in Sota, make this proclamation, Yadeno lo shafchu es adam hazeh, right, and the Gemara, we'll discuss that too, in Sota says, did we really think that the Ziknei Ha'ir murdered this man? Ella, what it means is, that what they say is, we didn't contribute to his murder by, turning him out into the street, and not providing, lodging and shelter and, and nourishment, and so on. And I think it means more than that, and we'll get to that. But either way, this process of Arifas Egla is also one which the Mishnah is referring to. And what's fascinating is that the Mishnah tells us that Smichas Kenim and Arifas Egla, there's a debate between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Huda, B'shlosha Divrei Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Huda Amar B'chamisha. Okay, interesting. Whether three or five. Again, three we're very familiar with. But why five? And is this a Bezdin? What exactly is it? If there are three and five argument, it sounds also like whatever we say about one, we should say about the other. I'll already tell you that it's fascinating that the Rambam, L'Halacha, both in Pirush Mishnayos and in Yad HaChazaka, if you look in Hichos Maaser Karbonos, and Hichos Sanhedrin, Perikei Halacha Hei, Maaser Karbonos, Perik Gimel Halacha Yad Aleph, the Rambam paskins five, like Rabbi Huda in Egla Rufa, and he paskins three, in Parhel and Davershal Tzibor, and of course in Smicha L'Dayanus. And I think again that's connected to, I believe he felt that it's one halacha. The Gemara seems to only think that it's possible that there are three for Smicha L'Dayanus, and the Rambam felt that that pulls it away, even though simple the Mishnah. So we'll get back to that. Hachalitza Miyunin Mishlosha. Anyways, the Mishnah has a whole list of things. The point I'm trying to make is, we have different configurations, 3, 5, occasionally 7, mostly 23, skip down a little bit. Then you have, of course, 71. 71 is the Sanhedrin HaGadol, or Bezdin HaGadol. So it's here, about 3, 6, 9, 12, about 15 lines down. Ein Donim Lois HaShevet, Belois Navi Sheker, Lois Kohen Gadol, right? Certain cases require the presence of the high court of Jewish life. If a shevet or the fate of a shevet is at stake, a navi sheker, these are obviously national issues, they're not individual issues. Right? A shevet is part of the structure of Klal Yisrael, a navi sheker, right? Los kohen gadol. So for all these, you require Bezin of 71. Ein motziyim the mochemes harishus. LLP bezin shel shiv viachad. Right, you need 71 for a bezin from mochemes harishus. Ein motziyim an ala ir v'alazara. If you want to extend the kedusha of the mikdash or Yerushalayim, these are national issues and they require a bezin of 71. LLP bezin shel shiv viachad. And then part of this, what part of our topic for tonight? Ein osin sanhedrayos. L'shvatim LLP bezin shel shiv v'yachad. How do the whole structure of the batei dinim? What is the network, and how does it get set up? So, according to the simple reading of this mishnah, right, the other smaller sanhedrins that are l'shvatim for each shevet or ear, as we'll discuss, are essentially presided over. The appointment of those smaller batei dinim are presided over by the top of the hierarchy, by Bezin HaGadol. What does that mean exactly? we'll discuss. El al pi bezin shel shem v'yachad. Enos in iran nidachas. El al pi bezin shel shem v'yachad. The law of a whole city being condemned as an iran nidachas. Again, that's a national kind of a decision. That's also bezin hagadol. Enos in iran nidachas besapar below. Okay, basically, then the Mishnah concludes Sanhedrin Gedolah Hoysa Shal Shim Viachad, that Sanhedrin Gedolah is 71, Ktana is Esrin Vishlosha, Minayin the Gedolah Shim Viachad, Shenemar Esfali Shivim Ish, Mizikne Yisrael, Umosha Al Gabeim. This is very fascinating. The Mokar for the 71 is the story in the end of the Sefer Bamidbar, where Moshe Rabbeinu complains about leadership, and the Ribbono Shel Olam expands leadership, or also looking towards the end of his life, where change will need to take place. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Esfali Shivim Ish Mizikne Yisrael." That's the 70, and Moshe was still involved. So that's Moshe Al Gabeim. Anytime Moshe is involved here, it's very telling. As the Gemara says later on, it says Ayin Amud Beis that Moshe's Keneged Ayin Aleph. Moshe himself is like 71, and the Rishonim will think that you can't even compare Moshe to 71 because he was so great. It's very it's a very complex, nuanced issue. These comparisons with Moshe Rabbeinu, as we will see. So Esfali Shivamish is 70 plus Moshe. It raises the question, which we'll discuss also. And that is the one of the 70, is this just teaching you that you need 71 because it's 70 in Moshe Rabbeinu? Or is this a way of saying that the 71 is 1 and 70? Maybe the 1 maybe has a special status. Okay, something to think about. Rabbi Yudah Omer Shivim, not 71, but 70. And we'll discuss that also. V'minayin l'ketana shehishel esrim u'shlosha, hanino Sanhedrin ketana is 23, shenemar v'shafto eda, Eda is 10, as we'll see. Yitzilo Eda, that's 10. Eda Shofetas, Eda Matzelas, that's 10 and 10. Harekan Esrim. Uminayin La Eda Shuasara, Shenemar Admasai La Eda Hara'a Hazos, etc. Yotsu Yoshua Bekalev, so the Meraglim were 12, minus 2 is 10. Uminayin Lahavi Od Shloshes, how do you get, so you get 10. Eda Shofetas, Eda Matzelas, how do you get the 23? Because Mimashma Shenemar Tiach Harab Laros, Shemeni She'e Achareim Latova. Right, if it's, you shouldn't go by the majority, only a majority, slim majority, to convict. What about the majority to exonerate? M.K. Lamanem Racharab Lahatos. The answer is Loka Hayatayasecha Latova Hayatayasecha Lura Hayatayasecha Latova Al Pi Echad Hayatayasecha Lura Al Pi Shnayim. Right, so you need two. You need a majority of two. The Ein Bezdin Shokol. But the bezin cannot be an even number because you're always, it kind of creates the option of a deadlock, which we do not want. We're going to avoid that. So masifin aleim od echad. So that's, the two is, it's up being three, so it's 10, it's 20, and then it's three. Harekan esrim ushlosha. Then the Mishnah concludes, kama yehe ba'ir otei ruyel sanhedrin. How big does a city have to be, or what kind of population does it need to justify a sanhedrin? Mea v'esrim, and the Gemara will explain what it means. Nechemiah amr masayim v'shloshim keneged sarei hatzaras. Okay, this is the Mishnah. What emerges from the Mishnah is that there is an extensive system of bate dinim or other configurations of judges, right, who are tasked with running Jewish life in all sorts of different ways. And the question is, these various structures and configurations and numbers, the three especially the three, the 23 and the 71, to in a lesser extent you have, again, some fives and sevens and even a couple of tens. A Moshe Rabbeinu Omid Al Gabeim, a super one. The question is, are these just hierarchies of numbers, or do they really represent different concepts and different models? To put it just very simply, in terms of the most ubiquitous categories, the 3, the 23, the 71, should we look at these as if they are simply, they're all about the dinim, you know, of greater stature, of lower stature, right? There, like in the American system, for example, you have a system of courts, right? So you have, you know, higher courts and lower courts, but a court's a court. Sometimes in the discrepancy, you know, between one level or you know, as you move in the transition from one level to another, we're not just talking about a, you know, more impressive, you know, quality of judge who therefore is likely to be hearing more complex or more important the Dvarim HaChashuvim, the Dvarim HaGadolim. The hierarchy of halachic authority is a very important thing. It's become very fashionable to bash it in, you know, in the press, but it, you know, in any field, right, there will always be a hierarchy. There should be a hierarchy in the world of medicine, in the world of physics, in the world of engineering. You know, wherever you're looking for competence and integrity, right, there will always be a hierarchy. And so one way to look at the Bezin of 71, and the Gemara has, you know, qualifications. Who can be a Dayan? Both in terms of his ethical standards as well as his intellectual credentials, etc. So one way to look at all of this is to say there's this massive system. There are, you know, all these, you know, Dayanim candidates, you know, who come through the system. And we want an efficient way to staff, you know, the different levels of courts, you know, in the most effective manner. But, you know, there's nothing fundamentally different between 71 and 23 and 3. By the way, there were three Batei Dinim, which used to sit in the Lishkas HaGazis, the Bezin of 71, which sat there, which is fascinating that it sat there at all, and that it had to be there. And then, of course, there were two other Batei Dinim under them. We'll see later that there might have been a Supreme Court of every Shevet. That's certainly the view of the Ramban. The point I'm trying to make is that one way to look at this entire network is to look at it in terms of quantitative hierarchy, which is no small matter either, as I say, because you still have to staff it properly, and you still have to find a mechanism, you know, to do that with integrity. Also, Guru Mipneish, we'll see in a moment, Shoftim Tita Nechabachal Sharecha, you know, Shoftu Sa'am Mishpat Tzedek, which according to some Rishonim refers to not the way the judges implement or execute the law, but the way that the people who appoint the judges, well, what are their considerations in appointment? It's not a system, you know, where, of payoffs or
nepotism.
What's that?
Nepotism.
Nepotism. It's supposed to be obviously in the basis of merit, and it's meritocracy and integrity. So what I'm, you know, kind of throwing out as a, you know, straightforward hierarchical system is still very significant. Obviously, you know, anybody who knows me will know that I think it's much more than that, and that there is a qualitative discrepancy between these different, you know, components. Again, it's interesting to know. Well, these are topics that we'll be, you know, elaborating on, and, you know, we'll be, you know, reviewing our conclusions as we go throughout the year. But it's interesting to note that we call the highest form of court, the Sanhedrin HaGadol, or Sanhedrin Gadol, or Bezin HaGadol, is called the Sanhedrin. And the 23 courts are called Sanhedrin Ketana. The three-man courts are not called Sanhedrin, they're called Bezin. And it's also interesting to note that the network works fully only when Bezin HaGadol is sitting in the Lishkas HaGazis, right near the Beis HaMikdash. When that happens, then the Sanhedrin Ketana, the 23 Batei Dinim, can work wherever they are, including Chutz Aretz. Mishnah says in Makos that Sanhedrin Oheges Ba'aretz U'Bechutz Aretz. But that's providing that there is a Bezdin HaGadol sitting in Lishkas HaGazis. In fact, the Sanhedrin Ketana could not adjudicate capital crimes and at all if there were not, even in Eretz Yisrael, if there were not a Bezin sitting in Lishkas HaGazis. However, the Bezin Shel Gimel, right, in monetary matters, does not require that the, you know, the elite top echelon be operating in the Lishkas HaGazis. This might indicate that Bezna, it's not just a question of linguistics, but Sanhedrin Ketana, Sanhedrin Gedola are, you know, in sort of a hierarchy. But Bezdin, Shel Gimel, that's already a bit of a different birya. And we'll have to see also in terms of the qualification. Who can be a Dayan? What are his qualifications? Things of that sort. Is it really a Minui? What exactly is it? So that's one distinction. Another distinction is between Ayin Aleph and Chof Gimel, which I'll get to in a second, but yeah.
Is there a concept of abstention in Jewish law? Can a Dayan abstain from...
That's a very big topic that we're going to discuss. Normally when a Dayan says any other day, we'll discuss it. Not today, but... Mosifin aleim adayanim.
With the
100%. So we'll discuss it. But that's one of the topics in the first parak. It's called, you know, Dayan Shamar Eni Odeya. The rule is Mosifin aleim dayanim. You usually add two dayanim to replace it. Then the question is, why do you add, and how do you add, and why are you adding two? Is he Ke'isa, is he Kalesa? Is the difference between Dini Mamanus and Dini Nefashos? It's a very fascinating topic, and we... absolutely, we'll be discussing it. Anyways, as I say, on the one hand, Ben Shel Gimel, as opposed to the two Sanhedrins, you know, that seems clear. On the other hand, let me say something else, and that is that Sanhedrin HaGadol, or Gedola, excuse me, Bezin HaGadol, excuse me, one of those change of the weather things, you know. Has a certain very special set. If I could use your Rambam just for a second, right? Get the year off properly, right? So, you know, the Rambam has a very famous formulation. The Rambam used to like to quote this whenever he could. So that's a good reason to quote it too. The Rambam at the very beginning of Hilchos Ma'amrim, Tarek Aleph, Halacha Aleph is a very famous description of Bezin HaGadol. Bezin HaGadol Shebi Yerushalayim, this is Tarek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, Heim Ikar Torah Shebal Peh, Veheim Amud Paho Ra'a, right? Umehem Chokamishpat Yotzei Lekol Yisrael. Ba'aleim Ifticha Torah, Shenemar, Al Pia Torah Sheyarucha, Ala Mishpat Ashayomer Lecha Ta'aseh. So, this is a very fascinating Rambam. The Rambam basically describes the different hats or the different functions. The question is, are they overlapping or separate? Again, in the American system, right, you have a division of functions, right? It's part of the checks and balances, right? Of you know, I'm Canadian born, but you know, I try to pay attention to what's going on in my adopted country. You know, so the you know, there's the executive branch, there's the judicial branch, there's the legislative branch, right? But in the halacha, Bezin HaGadol Shel Yerushalayim are Ikar Torah Shebal Peh, means they are the repository for the Mesorah. That's fascinating. What does that have to do with Bezdin, you know, that's Talmid Chachamim, but apparently that's part of Bezdin HaGadol's function. It's very critical. We'll get to that. Heim Amud Hora, right? They're also the highest court. Ki Pale Mimcha Davar Ben Dam LaDam Ben Din LaDin Ben Nega LaNega Divrei Ribos V'Sharecha V'Kam Talisa LaMakom, where they're the people you go to for in all areas of halacha. That's also important, right? Heim Ikar Torah Shabal Peh, Heim Amud Ha-Hora'a, so they are the last word on Hora'a. They're the, you know, Supreme Court to make these decisions. They're also, by the way, the Court of Appeals, but that's part of being the highest court, I guess. That's just a different function of it. Umehem Choka Mishpat Yotzei L'chol Yisrael, that's the legislative component, right? So they are the cultural slash, meaning the repository of the content of Torah. Maybe that's the most important thing. They're the ultimate Morei Hora, right? They're the legislative body. Valei Mifticha Torah, Shenemar Al Pi HaTorah Sheyarucha, Val Mishpat HaShiyom Lecha, and Kol HaMamin B'Moshe Rabbeinu. The Torah is a very interesting formula. We'll see. I'm giving away all the secrets because I think they're true. And at least I think these are... We'll see, the Rambam in particular has a very strong... I alluded to this in the Gemara, in Mishnah. The role of Moshe Rabbeinu as a paradigm in all these things is very fascinating, because on the one hand, Moshe Rabbeinu was unique, singular, by definition. On the other hand, you know, he kind of is the... You know, the paradigm for all these things. How does that both work? But for the Rambam in particular, Moshe Rabbeinu's role is very central. On the one hand, the Rambam believed that Moshe Rabbeinu was so unique that two of the 13 Ikari Amunah really revolve around the special status of Moshe Rabbeinu. You can't, the immutability of the Torah and the idea that he is an unsurpassed Navi. Two out of 13. On the other hand, when it comes to the dinim of Smicha and Dayanim, Moshe Rabbeinu's role is particularly strong in the Rambam. So when the Rambam says here, "Kalamamin b'Moshe Rabbeinu b'Taraso chayv lismoch ma'isa hadas eleim ulihishain aleim," that's another example of this role of Moshe Rabbeinu. So if it's true that the Sanhedrin Agadol, and we'll see that they have a couple more functions too, are the Ikar Torah Shemalta and the Amud Ha'Hora and the source for legislation, and, you know, are kind of entrusted with, you know, the Amunah of Klal Yisrael, that they're kind of the, you know, the replacement for the continuity of Moshe Rabbeinu, which has to do with Esfer Lishiv Mish, the Moshe Omid Al Gabeim, also, then we can imagine that not all of that is true about the Sanhedrin Katana. In other words, if we're talking about the relationship between Sanhedrin Katana and Sanhedrin and Bezin HaGadol, what we might say is that when it comes to, you know, rendering decisions, so in that, you know, maybe it's Davra Gadol and Davra Akasha, to use the Yisro, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to be the sole, you know, halachic authority, spiritual authority of Klal Yisrael in his younger days, you know. And, you know, that's before the end of Bamidbar, when he said, you know, I can't do this anymore. And then he wanted to do it alone, right? And his father-in-law gave him very good advice. He said to basically two things. Number one, that's a prescription for burnout. It's not good for you. It's not good for Klal Yisrael. It's also not, the both from efficiency and more, it's important to have other people, both for the future and even in terms of voices in the present. It's important to have other people, you know, involved. But it's still also important to know what's the Davar HaKasha and what's the Davar HaKashuv. In the bigger issues, you need Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu originally thought, like every issue, every time it's a question of whether you should say Tachnon, you know, yes or no, it should come to me, Lidrosh HaSo Elokim, because who knows better than me? He wasn't saying it out of arrogance. Moshe Rabbeinu was the biggest honor there was, but he knew that his level of knowledge and instinct was unsurpassed. So then Yisro basically said to him, A, that's a prescription for inefficiency and disaster and, you know, for the future, you know, not to yield, you know, to the next generation. But these, it's not good. You need to have other voices. And that's why sometimes there are other voices who Moshe Rabbeinu acknowledged, you know, got it right. I mean, whether it's Bezalel or the Bezal Tzlafchad, etc. They're fascinating issues. So, but the point I'm trying to make is that in terms of, you know, Bezin HaGadol, Sanhedrin Gedola, Sanhedrin Katana, so you can say, okay, well, you know, Dvarim Chashuvim, Dvarim Gedolim, you know, the final psak, you know, the appeal, but it's all part of the same system. Or no, if we're talking about the Chashuvim and the Gedolim or the appeal, maybe that's already qualitatively different. But certainly to the extent that we're talking about being Ikar Torah Shebal Peh, or, you know, Misham Yotze, you know, Chokah Mishpat Yotze Yisrael, meaning the legislative component, and the Lehi Sha'en Aleihem, that's certainly unique to Bezin HaGadol. Yeah.
Is a Pesach from Moshe, or a Pesach from the great Sanhedrin, are those non-appealable?
That's the final authority. Again, another generation or new Sanhedrin HaGadol could investigate that, and even Moshe Rabbeinu in theory in halacha, matter of halacha, not a matter of Mesorah, but a matter of halacha, Moshe Rabbeinu paskin in a certain way, based on svara, let's say, and another bezdin, you know, it's hard to believe one would be gadol mimenu chacham abinyan, but you know, what's that?
Minyan is possible.
The question is, what does chacham abinyan mean? But you know, we do have a rule that says, you know, Yiftach Bedoro, you know, Shmuel, Yiftach Bedoro, Shmuel Bedoro. Again, it's interesting, you don't say Kemosher Bedoro, but Ein l'dayin, you know, elamash ein avros, and that's part of the faith that we have in the system, that, you know, that every generation produces worthy people. But you have to find who the worthy people are, and you have to figure out intelligently, and with a lot of Yir Shamayim, you know, how to go about this, you know, what Yisro, you know, came up with then, and what this Mishnah kind of is describing. So it's a, this is all about the configuration of the Jewish legal system, and, you know, the interlocking pieces. It raises a lot of interesting, very contemporarily relevant questions. But not because it's, you know, particularly, you know, targeted or relevant to, you know, the 21st century. In every generation, these would be, every generation, you know, the life is in flux and there are new challenges. And there are, you know, there's a new generation of Talmidei Chachamim and, you know, and a new generation of Klal Yisrael, you know, which presents its own challenges and issues. And the questions, you know, that, you know, Yisro and Moshe at the end of his life, Esther Li Shivamish, and Yehoshua, you know, and Chazak Ve'amatz, and, you know, we just read the, you know, the Haftorah and Simchas Torah. And the questions of this Mishnah, namely, when Gimel, when Chaf Gimel, when Ayin Aleph, what do they have in common? Is it quantitative? Is it qualitative? These are very relevant issues. You know, what about smicha? Who can get smicha? Who can give smicha? These are the issues that are core issues in the halachic legal system. So basically, what I want you to come away with just from the Mishnah, just as a little, is two things. Number one, that there is this hierarchy, and we need to examine whether it is just quantitative, although being quantitative is challenging enough. Or it is also qualitative, the Bez Nagadol piece, Sanhedrin Katana, certainly Bez and Shel Ayin Aleph. We certainly notice that a lot of the Bez and Shel Ayin Aleph requirements are, what makes them Gedolim and Chashuvim is that they're national issues, right, as opposed to individual ones. The difference between capital crimes and civil law is also probably not one just of degree, but of kind. So that's one issue to think of. And then more specifically, one of them is the issue of Ein Osin Sanhedrios Lishvatim El Al Pi Bezin Shel Shem Yachad, which is particularly fascinating because here we're talking about the legal system, right, structuring itself. How do you set up Batei Dinim in different locations, different venues, right? Who's in charge of the hierarchy? Who makes these decisions? How does that work? And what are the implications of that? So I want to turn my attention a little bit to that. Yeah?
On the list of cases in the Mishnah, yeah, are they comprehensive or merely examples?
Excellent question. So I'll just give you a couple of one or two examples. Let's say not according to the Rambam. Let's say according to Rashi. I mentioned that when the Mishnah says smicha sekenim, it seems to stand as an argument shlosh or chamisha, that Rashi says it refers to paral and davar shel tzibur, and the Rambam says it refers both to paral and davar shel tzibur and smicha sekenim. So according to Rashi, it's interesting to note that the bezdin necessary to give smicha, which the Gemara says later on your gimel and base is a three man bezdin, is omitted from the Mishnah. Right? And the question is why? Not a question for the Rambam. Another example, which we'll get to probably next week. the Gemara in other places seems to say that the appointment of a Kohen Gadol requires the Bezin Shel Ayin Aleph. But it doesn't appear in this Mishnah. And like the Mishnah notes, it doesn't appear in Perek Hay, Hilchos Sanhedrin, Halacha Aleph, of the Rambam, where he mentions Ayin Aleph. So Lechem says, how come you left that? Tosefta says, Minui Kohen Gadol, you don't have that here. And what about Kiddush HaKodesh? The Rambam seems to say that Kiddush HaKodesh requires the input of Bez Nagadol. It's not in the Mishnah, it's not in the Rambam in Parakeh. It's in the Rambam of Kiddush HaKodesh, and it's in Sefer Mitzvot, but it's not where it should be. The question is why? Or Kibush Eretz Yisrael. We have Hosafa, Sazara, and those kind of things, but the Rambam seems to say, you know, in close Trumos, that Nechus Malachim, that Bezin Shalayin Aleph were necessary for that as well. So your question is right on target. Now, I would just reformulate a little bit. In other words, presumably, I mean, I guess there can be three, you know, possibilities. One is the Mishnah is simply inexhaustive, or it is exhaustive. Well, I've tried to demonstrate that, at least according to some people, it's not. The in-between, which is what I prefer, and which I think some Achronim say, is that it's not uncritically, you know, inexhaustive, meaning there's a reason, there should be a reason, you know, why certain items are omitted and others are here. So this Mishnah, or the Rambam in Perakei Halach Aleph, what's there, what's not there, you know, become important. Now, I think in light of, I'll just tell you again, this is no secrets between, you know, members of the same shir. In light of what we just said, you know, we have a ready explanation for this phenomenon. Because what did I just say? I was quoting the Rambam in Hilchos Ma'amarim, but even if you just look at the Mishnah here, on Beis Amid Aleph, right, it's clear that the role of Bezin HaGadol is multiple. Multiple completely discrete, or multiple overlapping, or multiple integrated. You know, this could be three different ways. Multiple integrated meaning it all's, you know, it's all different sides of the same coin, or multiple sides, right? Discrete meaning these things have nothing to do with each other, although the fact that they're all in the hands of Bezin HaGadol isn't a coincidence. They're the most competent, you know, group to take care of A, B, C, D, and E, even though A, B, C, D, and E are really separate disciplines, right? Or overlapping, by which I mean they are somewhat discrete, but they're also somewhat overlapping. Okay, so either way, if Bezin HaGadol wears multiple hats, they serve, you know, in multiple functions and disciplines, then it's very possible that this list in the Mishnah is describing only the Dvarim HaGadolim or Chashuvim, or only, you know, certain kinds of Bezin HaGadol activities, whereas their involvement in other things maybe is more flexible, and maybe is on a bit different basis, and we'll discuss that as well. Yeah.
Not Mishpat related, it was more representing Klal Yisrael.
The other things, yeah, exactly. Representing Klal Yisrael is going to be where we're going to go with it. The only question is whether representing Klal Yisrael isn't also part of some of their function here, too. But that's exactly what I was what I'm referring to. And Rav Velbel basically says it's by Kohen Gadol, and the Rav used to say it by Kiddush HaKodesh, that exact idea. So basically, we have this hierarchy and different perspectives on how to deal with it. That's A. B, specifically in the setting up of the internal court system, it's interesting to try to figure out what's happening. Okay. So to do that, I want to take a step back and analyze the very idea of setting up a court system, minui dayanim. And for that we need to go back to the psukim in Parshas Shoftim, talk about that a little bit, and to see whether or not we can develop some perspectives on that issue. So the Torah tells us, I have this somewhere, right? Page 3. Dvarim Perek Tazayin, starting from line 9. So this is the beginning of Parsha Shoftim. Shoftim v'shotrim, titein lecha v'chol sharecha. Right? You should set up, you should appoint Shoftim, judges, Shotrim, some sort of a, you know, policing body, enforcing body. We'll discuss that too. Very difficult pasuk to read on the pshat level, right? Because it seems a little bit backwards or inelegant, but the Torah doesn't know how to write inelegantly. Whatever, what seems inelegant is obviously for the sake of drashos, right? So, shoftim v'shotrim titen lecha b'kol sharecha, you should have said shoftim v'shotrim asher Hashem alokecha nosein lecha, or shoftim v'shotrim titen lecha, either way. I'm not going to rewrite it. Shoftim v'shotrim titen lecha b'chol sharecha, asher Hashem alokecha nosein lecha l'shvatecha. That's a very difficult phrase. And then again, v'shoftu asa'am mishpat tzedek. So you have three clauses, and it's, you know, just challenging to read it. clearly, all of these, each of these clauses is intended to emphasize something. So the question I want to deal with more directly first, two questions, or three questions. Number one, is there a mitzvah to set up a court system at all? The titen l'cha, is it a etza tova? Is it good advice? Or is it an obligation? That's question number one. Number two, what is the relationship between shoftim and shotrim? Right, the enforcer part? Are they just, you know, adjuncts of the shoftim? Or is that part of the mitzvah independently, and it reflects a certain common denominator, rather than, you know, it's the pratim of the shoftim? That's the second question. That will be relevant. And third, of course, is, four. What is asher nosein lecha lishvatecha? That's three. And four, b'shoftus amishpat tzedek. B'shoftus amishpat tzedek, I already alluded to the problem there, and that is that we already have psukim that tell us lo sata mishpat, right immediately. Lo saguru mipnei ish, which basically say that dayanim in the context of the Din Torah have to be very, very careful, you know, to be objective, you know, not to favor the mighty or not to favor the weak, for that matter, out of, you know, out of the sense of heightened concern. Because it's, you know, mishpat is objective and it's intended to be authentic, and so on. So if that's the case, what is the shoftu asa'am mishpat tzedek? Right? What does that add if we already have lo sata mishpat, you know, lo soguru mipneish? So who are we referring to and what are we referring to when we say b'shoftu asa'am mishpat tzedek? And that's the challenge in front of us. Rashi, at least a little bit, talks about this. Shoftim, shoftim, shoftim. Right, dayanim aposkim esadin. This is on number 12. The shotrim harodin esa'am achar mitzvasa. So it sounds like Rashi's taking the view that shotrim, also in his parish on the Gemara, are, you know, the enforcers, the executors, I don't mean executions, but the implementers of the psak. They guarantee that the, you know, the bailiff, you know, or whatever it is, he's going to make sure that the judgment, you know, is going to be carried out properly. Shemakin v'koftin b'maka l'vritzu ad shikabal v'sdin hashofet. We'll see that the Rambam does not interpret that way, not in Sefer Mitzvos and not in Yad HaChazaka. The Rambam seems to say that shotrim are like truant officers, you know, whose job is to enforce religion in the community, not just to enforce the psakim of the dayanim. So that's very fascinating. In other words, it's a common theme rather than an adjunct or an accessory to the shoftim. Okay. What is b'chol sharecha? Rashi says b'chol ir v'ir. Lishvatecha musav al titen lecha. By saying musav, he's acknowledging that there's a linguistic inelegancy here. Right? Titen lecha lishvatecha. Right? Shoftim v'shoftim titan l'chol l'shvatecha v'chol sharecha asher shom l'kecha nesemach. Basically, Rashi is trying to neutralize the word l'shvatecha. It's not a separate theme, according to Rashi. We'll see that the Ramban holds that l'shvatecha refers to a supreme court of every shape. Okay. L'shvatecha melamed shemoshibin dayanim v'chol shevet v'shevet v'chol ir v'ir. Each city, each shevet. These are local Batei Din. V'shoftus ha'am b'shpat tzedek, says Rashi, manei dayanim mumchim v'tzadikim lishpat tzedek. This is referring not to the job of the dayanim, right, to judge fairly, but to the task of those who appoint dayanim, right, that this should be done, you know, with any kind, as we said before, without any kind of bias. You know, it shouldn't be part of, what do they call those systems? Chicago, you know, in the daily days. What do they call it?
Enforcers.
No. You don't talk about it. This is a phrase. What's the right phrase? It's just eluding me for the moment. Patronage? Patronage system? People used to reward, politicians would reward their followers by appointing them to...
Spoils.
Patronage. That's the right one, right? Yeah, it's you know, basically supporters, in other words, would be rewarded, you know, by receiving...
the Robin Hood.
Sadly. You know what? You know, it's but it's a patronage system, right? No?
Yeah, it's also called the spoils system.
It's like Xeroxes and copies, right? We haven't mentioned it in a while. Okay, the patronage system. You know, like these machines, these political machines, you know.
Tammany Hall,
exactly. Or, you know.
He's from close.
So, Mane Dayanim, Mumchim, Tzadikim, Lishbo Tzedek. With the appointment of Dayanim, should be done, in other words, objectively and ethically. And, you know, and without bias, you know, according to objective standards. Oh, we'll discuss that more fully in a moment. The Sifrei, Rashi says, Mane Dayanim Mumchim Tzadikim Lishpo Tzedek. Meaning the goal is that if you appoint the right kind of judges, you'll get the right kind of mishpat. So in a way, Rashi a little bit ruins it. I don't mean really, it ruins it. Meaning he takes what could have been a totally different idea and makes it, you know, a partner to the... You know, losata mishpat, losaguru mipnei ish. You want the right kind of justice, you know, to emerge, and for that you need two components. You need to be appointing judges for the right reasons, right, in a meritocracy, and so on. And B, right, you need to tell, then address the dayanim and make sure that they're not corrupt, that they don't accept shochad, you know, that they're not overly, you know, sensitive to the plight of the Balei Dinim, right? Because at that point they have to be objective, or in the other direction, of course, and so on. Okay. The Sifrei basically has Mayin Mane Dayanim Mumchim V'Tzadikim, but without the Lishpo Tzedek. I suspect that maybe you could interpret differently than Rashi. And what he's saying is that merely the appointment of the right types of Dayanim is important. Why? Separate from, in other words, the kind of tzedek that will emerge in their psakim. Why? So that's going to be the theme that I want to develop next week, but I'm just going to start with it right away. So let's get to the Ramban for a minute. The Ramban, commenting on this pasuk, starts off in a way that highlights the crux of the issue. Ramban says, 19, Tziva b'Torah, Adu Elohim Yavau Dvar Shnehem. I said the word Elohim instead of Elohim because the Gemara says in Sanhedrin this is a reference to Dayanim Mumchim, and that's going to be crucial for us in a moment. Why do we call Dayanim Mumchim Elohim? Right? So Rashi already in Parshas Bereishis, which we just read, and throughout his Parshas Al Torah, Medrash, notes that sometimes the word Elohim means Shalit, right? B'nei Elohim, B'no Sa'adam, you know, Rashi talks about it there, right? But I suspect that it's more than that. What I really think, you know, is going on is that sometimes you don't even know, you need the Chazal to tell you whether it's Elohim or Elohim, whether it's Lashon Kodesh or Lashon Chol. And I think that I'll try to develop in just a minute, the ambiguity is intentional. And we're not just talking about shalit, people who have power. We're talking about individuals, you know, human beings, who in the exercise of their judicial responsibility in halacha, right, basically are ambassadors for and represent Elohim. Okay, we'll explain in a minute. Adu Elohim yavod dvar shneihem, benosan b'plilim, imkein mitzvah shiyu liyisrael plilim. Raman starts off very matter-of-factly, very functionally. He says that if the Torah speaks about, you know, how you go about adjudicating, you know, dinei Torah, civil law, so there must be a plilim, right? Ubir bekan sheyasimu ashoftim b'chol areihem kasher yitem lanam Hashem b'saaretz. That's basically the Torah is telling you if you want to have if you want people to follow Jewish law, you have to have a network of batei dinim, so people can have access to it. In Eretz Yisrael, kibbutz chutzlaretz, enam chayovim limnos lam batei dinim. In chutzlaretz, there's no obligation. This is the Ramban's reading of the Rambam, which he doesn't like. I'm not sure that even the Rambam meant this. The way the Ramban reads the Rambam, there's no obligation to set up courts in chutzlaretz. But, what, you live in Chutz Laaretz, you don't have to follow Jewish law? Chas v'shalom. So the Ramban continues, Aval, kasher yitzak ha-mu'uvas, yamdu alav haru'uyim lishbot, u'bimishpateyem yishpatuhu. What happens is that when somebody is, you know, the victim of some sort of injustice, right? So he will scream, and the qualified judges who live in that area will put together an ad hoc Beis Din, and they'll look into the matter and they'll judge. But you don't need a standing or a sitting court in advance for that. Just whenever there'll be an issue, we'll call together a court. Or Yalal Aretz Bizmano, he's supposed to go give a regalim to Eretz Yisrael. The Ibn Ezra says this, basically, as we'll see in a moment. Ibn Ezra says, what's the Smichos Parshios? The previous parsha speaks about Gimel Regalim. Right? Rei. The end of Rei. End of Rei is the parsha of the second parsha of the Moed, third parsha of Moedim, the one of Regalim, essentially. So he says, the Ibn Ezra says, you might think that you have to go to, you know, Aliyah L'Regel three times a year, and there are, you know, you'll get your judicial needs taken care of, you know, in Yerushalayim. You're, you know, Malei Chachamim V'Sofrim. So you don't need Batei Dinim anywhere else, because you're going to go to Gimel Regalim. Kamash Malan, says Ibn Ezra. What's the Kamash Malan? Kamash Malan, that's not good enough, because it's not effective enough, because it's still, not everybody goes, what happens in between. Maybe people will be discouraged and they'll go to our coast. Is that the problem, or is it something more than that? But either way, the Ramban is basically saying that, you know, you could do this in Chutz Laaretz. V'hosef b'kan shotrim, and so on. That's how Yitzu Rambam in Perek Aleph Halakha Beis, which I don't believe is the correct reading. And the Ramban himself ends up thinking that in Chutz Laaretz there is an obligation, and we'll discuss that as we go forward. What the Ramban and Ibn Ezra basically highlight for our purposes is an interesting question. Why do you need in advance to appoint? Why does the Torah tell us, Shoftim v'shoftim titan l'chol b'choshana? The Ramban says that, according to the Ramban's reading of the Rambam, in Chutz Laaretz, whenever a mu'uvas, somebody who feels, that he was a victim, so he'll scream, he'll put together a court. What's the problem?
The Ramban says,
and in a way, the Ibn Ezra, as I said before, is telling us that as well. Like, that's the kesher to the Gimel Regalim, that's the Havamina at least. Like, so why do you need it in Eretz Yisrael?
The Ramban suggesting that Mishpatayim Mishpatu, that go to a Goyish
court. No, Chas v'shalom. Chas v'shalom.
What's Mishpatayim?
In the Mishpatim of the Dayanim that will be put together in ad hoc. The Isra of Arkos is explicit in the Gemara in Gittin. And of course, it's very much even furthered by the famous comments of the Ramban in Parshas Mishpatim. Right? Ela Mishpatim Asher Tassim Lefnehem, Lefnehem Velo Lefnei Arkos. Then the Gemara says in Gittin, Avim Kishinehem Kedinenu, even in a case where their dinim are like our dinim, we'll discuss that. Even then, it doesn't matter, there's an Isra Arkos. And the Ramban expands on it, Tzachil Hashem, and it's more than that. So he's not talking about that. But what is he talking about? What is the point here? Now, just one more hara, then I'll take a question. In the Monei HaMitzvos, right, most of the Monei HaMitzvos count a mitzvah, one of the Tayag Mitzvos, Shoftim v'shoftim titan l'chol b'chol sharach, to set up a court system. With the exception of two that I'm aware of, the Yireim, Rabbi Elazar Mimitz, and the Smak, Rabbi Yitzchok Mikorvil. Neither of them counted Shoftim v'shoftim titan l'chol b'chol sharach in the Minyan Tayag. And clearly, in light of the Ibn Ezra's comment and the Ramban's comment about Chutz Laaretz, one could say, and some of Farshim do say this, that when the Torah says, Shoftim v'shoftim titan l'chol b'chol sharach, it's an Eitzah Tova. If you want to preclude, you know, people from being tempted to do our kos, or, Inui Hadin, you know, justice delayed is justice, what do they say? Justice delayed is justice denied?
Denied.
See? Yeah. So, you're worried about those kind of things, which are serious considerations. Inui Hadin is a problem in Halacha too. It's also a problem. So, Shoftim v'shoftim titan l'chol b'chol sharach. Better you know, instead of scrambling when you need it, even if that works, you know, better to have something in advance. But there's no mitzvah d'oraisa. Okay? So we totally understand those shittos. And indeed, the shiltos also. So he thinks that the shoftus amishpat tzedek in the end is part of the shoftim v'shotrim titan l'cha. Basically, it doesn't mean set up a court system. It means, again, when you the criteria that you use to appoint and the methodology that you use to appoint judges should be one, right, which is driven by mishpat tzedek. But there's no din of setting up courts in advance of Dinei Torah. On the other hand, as I said, the preponderant view of the Rishonim, Rambam, look at the Rambam in Perek Aleph Hilchos Sanhedrin, well, even the Rambam that we just read, but look at the Rambam for a minute. I must have it somewhere, right?
Top of the page.
Top of the page. Mitzvah Saseh Shel Torah, Limnos Shoftim V'Shotrim, Mitzvah Saseh Shel Torah, B'chol Medina Medina, B'chol Pelach V'Pelach, Shenemar Shoftim V'Shotrim Tizim V'chol B'chol Shorecha. Shoftim Elu Dayanim HaKvuim, the Bezdin, Lubali Dinim Ba'in Fneim, Shoftim are judges, right? Shotrim Elu Bali Makal Ritzua, but not like Rashi's, you know, that implement the dinim of the Dayanim. They don't work for the Dayanim, they work for Klal Yisrael. Behem Omdim Lifnei Dayanim, Hamasavin Beshvakim, Uberkovos, other guys, you know, who are walking around, you know, I don't know. Valachanuyos, Latakin Asha'arim, making sure that the stores aren't cheating. Vamidos, Lahakos Kol Mu'uvas, Kol Maseim Al Piyad Dayanim. They're overseen by the Dayanim, but not the Din Torah. They're like the halachic police, you know. Again, we don't, you know, not a police state, but meaning. What's that? Good. Okay. See, sometimes a little what's that is more effective. Okay, so the so if you look at Sefer Mitzvos, right? Kuf Ayin, next page, it's on page 4, number 15, or 1415, right? So the Rambam says, Amitzvah Kuf Ayin Vav, Hishat Sivanu Lemanos Shoftim Shotrim, Shiachrichu Lasos Mitzvah Satorah. I mean, the Torah is, you know, is a, I'm not talking about today, you know, where we live in, you know, a different kind of a world. But in ideally, you know, the Torah is a theocracy, right? This it's a benevolent theocracy and one which, you know, we believe is, you know, l'sakein olam b'malchus shakai, and that is an or l'goyim. But it is obligatory. Jews are obligated to follow the halacha, right? That's what the Rambam is saying. Tzivui l'manos shoftim v'shoftim she'achrichu la'asas mitzvah satorah. It's a prison size. I don't want to keep Shabbos. I'm not talking about Bzman Azeh where, you know, we don't have these mechanisms and we wouldn't want to implement them given the reality of Jewish observance. That's something else. But in an ideal Jewish society, right, there are onshim for averos. That's the idea of tshuva too, right? There's consequences to your bechira chavshes. V'yachziru anotim b'derech ha'emes eleha al karcham. V'yitzavu l'asas atov, to do the good, v'yazhiru min hara, v'yam midu hagedarim al ha'over ad shol yomitzas ha'torah v'azor ha'seh tzrichos le'emunos kol ish v'ish. The idea that, you know, it's up to your conscience is something which we do today, because we need to do it today. And again, even if we had the ability to coerce, you know, we wouldn't, given the, you know, reality of Jewish life today, but in a more ideal setting, Bimosa Mashiach, and what was when Jewish societies were traditional, it's a very important, the Rambam saying, part of the mitzvah of Shotim is to know that this is a serious matter, that it's an obligation, that part of living in the world, living in the Rebbeinu Shalom's world, comes, you know, with conditions, and for a, you know, a Shomer Torah mitzvahs, that means, you know, doing his part. Part of the conditions are hierarchy of court system, and the Rambam goes on to explain that what this court system is. And he goes on to explain, I'm not going to read it right now, maybe I'll leave it for next week, that, you know, Tikkun HaAvel and, you know, the Shotrim who are walking around, this is all part of the idea. Anyways, the Chinuch likewise follows the Rambam, except when it comes to Shorash HaMitzvah, he's a little bit more on the positive rather than negative side. The point I want to make is as follows. What's wrong with the Ibn Ezra, the Urayim, the Habamin of the Ibn Ezra, the Urayim, the Smak? Meaning the idea that why should there be a mitzvah? Show for them, show them to the Chabakal show that. Yeah.
I'm just wondering whether this is analogous to the Machlokes in the Rambam and the Ramban on Tefillah and Eis Tzara. And that maybe there's just always an Eis. The Jews are litigious. And if you.
Well, I mean,
I suspect that you just couldn't. There were too many issues that came up.
You're saying this is a tweaking of the pragmatic approach. I'm going to tell you what I think are four approaches. And we'll leave it at that for today because we have to finish up. So I think that there are four perspectives. Again, you know, the fifth, of course, is that there is no mitzvah, it's an Eitz HaTorah. That's one group. In the majority view, which is that there is a mitzvah, the question is, like, why? I think there could be four different answers, and it's not mutually exclusive in some cases. And there are echoes of these various things. One is kind of what you're saying, which is, you know, maybe that's what the Ibn Ezra probably has in mind as well. Meaning, in the end of the day, there's no intrinsic value to having, you know, a court system, you know, per se, that is in place. But for sake of efficiency, you know, for people who aren't going to the Regalim, or if you can't put together the court quickly enough, if you want to discourage our coasts, you know, more forcefully, not give people the excuse, so shoftim v'shoftim tit l'chobachol shorecha. It's a very pragmatic, you're saying the Jews are litigious.
Even more positive than that. Not I'm worried about going to a coast, but there's so many issues that can
be... Okay, yadin. Good, right, I'm saying, you're saying, without a sitting or standing court system, it's not going to work as efficiently, and therefore the benefits justify the mitzvah. But it's all the same, conceptually, it's all the same. The details are a little different. The details are different if I say I'm worried about Arkos, or I'm worried about Inu Yadin, or I'm worried about, you know, whatever. But in the end of the day, that's the idea. The second idea is the idea of the Rambam and the beginning of the Chinuch, and that's kind of the Shotrim idea of the Rambam and the Chinuch, and that is that this is about Menias Avel. It's a kind of a deterrent. When you have a standing legal system, and people know that, right, it also motivates them, right, to adhere to the law. Because they know that, you know, there's just, you know, those judges are sitting around and waiting, you know. You know, there's Shotrim around, there's Shoftim, the presence, if you will, in a negative way first, of the system in an efficient way is, to some extent, a deterrent against Chet. And I think that partially is what the Rambam and the Chinuch are saying. However, I think that one could take this a giant step further. Look at the Chinuch for just a second, Taf Tzadi Aleph, line number 38. The Chinuch starts off by quoting the Rambam, but then he has a little more kedark of an expansion. Shorash HaMitzvah Niglahu, She'ima davar zeh na'amid datenu biyos ima salufenu v'shoftenu al p'tei ha'amon. This will enhance, you know, our religion by virtue of the fact that the presence of Shoftim and so on will, you know, the fear of the judicial system, but not just this fear, but also the inspiration. In other words, not only preventing crime, it's not just a crime prevent. You put more police on the street, you know, it's going to prevent crime. You say it's more than that. It's also when people don't do crime, right, they develop good habits. But more than that, I think what he's referring to, and if he's not, then I'm just going to add it, and that is that the presence of dayanim in a community, this is the big point I want to push, is not just, you know, to adjudicate. It's who these people are themselves and the example that they set and the tone that they set, the avira in the community. And then let me go back to my previous comment about Dayan Samuch being signified in the Torah by the word Elohim, which is, you know, practically interchangeable with Elohim. The idea is that who are these people? And let me go back to Egla Rufa as well. Right? The Torah says about the story of Egla Rufa that, you know, these Kene, Zikene, Yair put their hands on this thing and they make this proclamation, Yodeno lo shafchus adam azeh, we did not spill this blood, right? And they ask for kapara, and the Gemara says in Sota, come on, I mean, do you really think the Zikne Ha'ir were implicated in the murder? They need alibis. No, what it means is lo patarnu below klum, right? We gave, you know. So is that really all it means narrowly? Meaning our hands are clean, you know, we offered a little lodging, we offered a soup kitchen, you know. I think it means more than that. I think what they're really, really saying is, of course those things, that's what the Gemara says, we're not going to go against that, Chas V'Shalom. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. What they're really saying is, these chachamim initially have to do a cheshbon and nefesh. What kind of town, right, you know, produces this kind of violence? So they have to just at least, you know, introspect initially to say, Yadeinu lo shafchus adam, that we are the dayanim. We're supposed to set an example. It should be inconceivable that in our town, you know, this kind of crime could occur. Now, it could always be a crazy person. We know there are many crimes that are just the works of individual, deviants. And that's the end of the story. But oftentimes, you know, you get copycat crimes or you get a certain prevalence of crime. Even the deviance that take place is still a function of what seems to be kind of, you know, acceptable or looser standards, you know, in a community. The idea of shoftim shoftim titim chaba. So let me get back to v'shoftu esa'am mishpat tzedek in what I think the sifrei may mean, and that is not just because you want to get better result. That's true also, but appointing, you know, people who are exemplars, paragons of virtue, of Torah, of avodas Hashem in the community, right, is a way of v'shoftu esa'am mishpat tzedek. Appointing people who have the capacity for Mishpat Tzedek is good, even if there's never a Din Torah in the community. Because it just established, you have a kolel in a community, you have a yeshiva in a community, you have a mikvah in a community, you have a bezdin in a community. These are the institutions, and the people who, hopefully, you know, run them and embody the values of these have inordinate impact beyond, you know, the functions that they carry out. Their persona, what they stand for, is what's important. Maybe that's part of the mitzvah of Shoftim Shoftim. The fourth one, I'm sorry, I'm over time already, but, you know, we had all these weeks, so that will be good going forward. We'll try. The last one, I think, has to do with what the Rambam refers to as the Tanai, the hierarchy, what I said before. It's important to understand, just like we talked about in the Mishnah on Beis Amid Aleph, Shoftim Shoftim Titan Lechav Bechol Sharecha, that there's a whole system of Batei Dinim that interact. There's a Bezin Shel Gimel, there's a Bezin Shel Chaf Gimel, there's a Bezin Shel Ayin Aleph, and you have to have a network, b'kol pelech u'pelech, b'kol ir v'ir. Different level of dayanim for different places, etc. There's value in understanding that hierarchy and the dynamic of that hierarchy. We'll speak a little bit more about that next time. So I want to speak a little bit more about this idea of mitzvah of minui dayanim and choshem mishpat generally, in this context, and then we'll move on maybe to discuss Smicha.